You're listening to the Remote Mom Collective podcast, where moms can find their stride in the remote work world. Whether you currently work remotely or you want to, you're in the right place. I'm Brittany, the remote mom, and I've been working remotely since 2007. I became a mom in 2015, and there's a lot to learn. Together, we'll support, inspire, and empower each other on our journey to balance work, life, and motherhood from the comfort of our own homes or wherever we're working remotely. Together, let's redefine what it means to be a working mom. Let's support and inspire each other. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Remote Mom Collective podcast. I am Brittany, the remote mom, and I am so excited to talk to Brittany Burks today. She and I actually spell our names the exact same way. I don't know that I've ever met another Brittany that spells our name the same way.
I've met one at church randomly, and I was like, I freaked out because she had her name on her badge. I was like, oh my gosh, like we spell our names the same way. But usually I get the Brit and I or the Brittini.
Brittini.
And I'm like, no, there's mm-hmm. no I in the middle there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had somebody ask me once, did your parents drink martinis when they came up with your name? And I was like, no, it's just Brittany, just simple Brittany.
Phonetically correct. That's what I tell people. It's phonetically correct.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for being here today, Brittany. And today, I loved your topic idea because it was actually pretty funny. Let me pull it up where... This is where I have my notes all over the place. And now my dog wants out. So, you know, that's fun. Okay. Today we are talking about managing burnout at home and work. Oh, wait. Those are the same place. That was great. I laughed when I saw that. And yes, you see the same walls. You don't leave. You can't escape. It can be really overwhelming. So let's just jump in. I'll let you introduce yourself and then we can just jump into the topic.
Awesome. Sounds good. So Brittany Burks, I'm currently living in North Carolina and work out of my lovely Carolina room, as they call it here. It's a sunroom, which conveniently or not conveniently is located directly off of my living room and my dining room, which means I can see my work basically at all times. I would say I'm an accidental remote employee, or maybe a COVID remote employee. I joined an organization in the height of COVID and for the first 6 months worked remotely and eventually ended up telling my boss, like, I'm not sure I actually work for the company that I work for, like not feeling the magic, could be a shell corporation. Like, can we just like meet in an office, like so I can get a feel for this? And so kind of going backwards, I am a lot of things. I feel like as with most moms, I am a mom. I am a spouse, happen to be a military spouse along with that and the fun things that come with that. I'm a spouse that's retiring soon. So that's a whole other situation.
We went through that last year. My husband just retired last year. So we can talk offline about that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I need all the tips. Veteran myself. That's how I met my husband actually. And all the things, right? Like the dog walker, the part-time travel coordinator, the camp, summer camp program coordinator, the chauffeur, the coach, all the things. And I thought I had to be all those things. And I thought I had to do all of those things really, 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 really well. I was raised that everything was very black and white. Mm-hmm. There was a right and a wrong, and there was no gray. And you had to do everything excellently and to the best of your ability, which over time, working for the organization that I previously worked for, was a demanding organization. And I got to the point where I was stressed, burned out, tired, losing hair. That was fun over Thanksgiving when I'm like looking, getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner, right? And I'm like, I have a bald spot. And I like rushed to my husband, like, babe, look at my head. Like, and he was kind and he's like, I think it's okay. It was a bald spot.
Oh,
and so
no.
I kind of realized something's got to give, right? Like something's got to change.
Yeah. So It almost, I wonder if you worked in an office, how much, if like, if the stress level would have changed. Like, do you think that if you had been in an office, you would have had the same stress level, or do you think it was heightened because you were at home? Or do you think that if you were in the office, it would be more than what you were dealing with at home?
I have definitely thought about that. I love the flexibility of being remote. I honestly don't think, particularly now, like our lifestyle could survive if I had to, if I had to go to an office. But I think the benefit of being in an office is almost there's a separation. There's a moment where you can decompress, you can come down, you can listen to your podcast, right? You can do whatever routine before you're bombarded by home life, and you have to like take off a hat and put on another one and put on another role. Whereas I do feel like working from home, you're still wearing all of these hats, right? So like when I get off a meeting at home, my first thought is, oh my God, I should put in a load of laundry. You know, like I need to like I gotta like stay on it. I can't get behind. I have to like be efficient. And that's exhausting. So I didn't really answer your question because I just they're both challenging. They're both hard to navigate, but I do think there are some benefits to working in an office. It's
You
just our
probably
lifestyle and our location that doesn't work.
right. Well, and what I was thinking too, as you were saying that, because you're right, as we are home and the dirty dishes are staring us in the face, or the pile of
The
laundry on
worst.
the laundry chair that keeps piling up, like that. That is staring us in the face all day long, depending on where your office is in your house. Whereas if you have that separation and you can go into your office, you're not that priority goes out of the way. And if it sits there for a week, which I am like, I hate doing laundry. My husband is actually the one that does the laundry in the house, thank goodness, because I hate it so much. And it's, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. So like I didn't feel as guilty about it because it wasn't in my face all the time. But I think that because we do have all of those chores sitting, staring at us, being like, you're in between meetings. You can go run the dishwasher really quickly or walk the
Vacuum a
dog,
room, you
vacuum a
know.
room, right? And some people do that though, and they have an organized checklist. There was a girl that I used to work with many years ago, and she had like a rotating cleaning schedule. So like on Mondays, she would at lunchtime, she would like wipe down all of her kitchen counters. And then on Tuesdays, she would go in and like clean the bathrooms or whatever that looks like. And actually, that sounded in theory like a great idea. That's I don't want to do that on my lunch break.
No, no. And when you're in an office, you—I mean, you can't. I mean, I guess you could go wipe down like the communal kitchen, but that might be a little weird. But yeah, and again, like going back to even like, you have to, you either usually eat lunch, right? So I found even working from home, like I'll blow right through lunch, or I'll just grab something like a snack or something. So I'm not even eating. I wasn't eating as healthy. You know, as I would going to an office where I used to pack my lunch bag, right? And I was trying to eat healthy, and we did Whole30 for a while. Oh, God, it almost killed me. But like we had like meal prep, all the things, right? And so that was because that was a part of our routine. You know, I actually ate better at the office than I do at home.
'Cause you have to be more intentional about what you're going to pack in your lunchbox versus I'm going to eat the leftover lasagna that I made for dinner last night for lunch, and you ended up like heating up huge portions instead of what you've packed yourself the night before. So what are some ways that, you know, working from home, what are some ways that can help you not feel like you're trapped?
Oh gosh. So, you know, I had this epiphany that I have to share with you. So I work out pretty regularly, and that's been really, really important for like my mental health and my physical health. And I get grumpy if I don't work out. My husband would be like, you should go work out. Okay, fine. But I work out in my garage. So not only I'm like working out this morning, like thinking about talking to you, and I was like, crap. I didn't work out in my garage. So work out in my garage. I work from home. I'm at home. I think the only time I make sure I leave my place of residence is to take the kids to school in the morning. That's kind of my saving grace. So I get to get like at least get to wave at other adults, like real adults, you know, not on a screen. But I think the first step is really acknowledging it. For me, again, like growing up, it was like push through, and also the military mindset, like I can do hard things, like this, you know, this is going to get better. And I told myself kind of that lie that like after this, it'll like ease up and it'll get better. Like after the kids are out of school, or after I change my job, or after all of these like milestones, my brain was telling me like it's going to get better, it'll get easier, it'll become more normal, you'll get over it. But it didn't. You know, and then I'm Thanksgiving Day, like, and I've got a freaking bald spot, and I'm 38. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a little too soon for that. So I think the first step is for me was acknowledging it, and then like, but then you got to do something about it, and I think that's the hard part. So I noticed my spot, and it took me 3 or 4 more months to finally be like, okay, like something's got to give. And it's funny because I quote to my kids like the insanity quote about like, hey, you can't continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. Like that's insanity. But that's exactly what I was doing over and over and over again. And somehow like my mind was telling me it's going to get, you know, you can get over this, it'll be fine. You know, you're tougher than this, whatever. And you know, again, like that didn't happen. And so I did a lot of things. I wouldn't necessarily wreck, you know, maybe like incrementally doing some of these things, but I made some massive changes. One of the biggest ones that was really hard for me was going to therapy, actually. It had been a super long time, or a long time coming. Took me a long time to even admit that I needed therapy. And I feel like everybody needs a little bit in their life.
Absolutely.
It's hard. Life is hard. So it took me a really long time to even admit that I needed therapy. And then even longer, like, to figure out like, okay, this is okay. Like, I don't need to know where to start, because that was my biggest fear. I was like, where do we start? Like, do we start when I'm five? You know, like, do we start? Like, I just don't even know what would I say? So that was one of the biggest changes. I was like, okay, I need therapy. And I also went to my doctor, and I was like, something is happening, right? Like, check me out, draw the blood, do the test, all of it. And I was honestly really hoping something was like physically wrong. And that's terrible. But it's like, you have this, or you have a deficiency in this, or you have this syndrome, or, and they're like, no, your blood pressure's a little, you know, a little elevated, but like generally speaking, you're pretty healthy. And I was like, gosh darn it. Like, well, okay, it's not like I can pop a vitamin or eat better or do something. And so she, you know, was talking to my doctor, and she's like, have you thought about talking to someone? And I was like, ah, yes, I probably should. So going to therapy for me was a big change, something I needed to do to really kind of unpack and understand like all of these expectations that I had for myself. And I think as moms, we do this so frequently, where we you like, I love my kids, so therefore, because I love my kids, I'm not allowed to be mad at them, or I'm not allowed to really want to throttle them figuratively. Obviously, not literally, but just. And so again, in therapy, you know, my therapist is like, hey, like, these thoughts can exist together. They can coexist. One doesn't have to win out. One is not right. One is not wrong. It's an and. Like, I love my kids, and they're driving me freaking bananas, right? Or they're not living up to their potential. Or I don't know if I don't know if we're gonna make it through fifth grade, which is where we're at right now, and it's the end of the school year. So again, like, I'm trying to build my toolbox and combat a lot of these thoughts. I've also noticed that my love language is acts of service, which is not, I was like, could not have been an easier win, you know? Like, why can't it be gifts? You Can't it be easier? Even like words of affirmation. Just no, it's basically like acts of service, which, you know, that's usually how we show love. And so, I try to have people over for dinner, and look out for folks, and you know, do things for neighbors, particularly in our military community, while, you know, spouses and partners are gone. And I'm night. I'm genuine and nice to all these people. But when it comes to like my internal talk track, and this is again something that was highlighted in therapy, it's like my internal, I'm a jerk to myself, right? Like I'm mean. And I would never say some of the things to others, even to my kids, that I would say to myself. And it happens on a regular basis. And so those, like, I'm still not there, right? I'm not fixed. I'm not, like, it's a regular battle, but it's realizing that, like, oh, yeah, that's not very nice.
Yeah, I love that you said that because that is something that I'm realizing too, and I'm not in therapy, but I have gone to a couple of sessions and I do would like to go back. But I think in general, as women, we are not nice to ourselves. We're constantly telling ourselves how ugly we look or how tired we look or how fat. I mean, I had a dream last night that I was like extremely overweight and I woke up this morning like depressed, and I'm like, I'm not shallow like that. Like it made me feel, and I was ugly to myself in my dream, which you probably is how I really, I mean, that's really how I am in real life. I'm just not nice to myself. And so I think you're right. That's a good place to start is understanding the words that you say to yourself and your internal talk track. How are you, and what are you doing to help improve that?
Oh Lord, it's rough. I have these, I have like cards that I carry around. I've kind of put post-its up different places to kind of remind myself of some of the tools. That's what my therapist is calling, like, put tools in the toolbox to combat some of these thoughts. And she's basically said, like, look, like, we're not gonna get rid of this stuff. And I realize I'm spending so much time trying to like stop thinking about like thinking that way, or like that's a mean thought, or I shouldn't be saying, thinking that's my whatever it is, trying to not think about something. And what happens when you try to not think about something?
Oh, you think about it. Yeah. That's all
Right.
you can think
So we
about.
spend all our time distracted, but and she had me like hold up a folder right in front of my face, like to like physically practice this. And I was like, ugh, okay, what are you thinking about? The folder and the fact that my arms are tired, right? And so I have visual cues, set up. I really should be meditating probably, but I get really distracted. I'm being super honest, and like my mental like to-do list starts to creep in when I'm supposed to be meditating. So it's slow progress. And even like going to therapy, like I didn't want to go. I went yesterday and I was like, I was very close to just calling and being like, I'm not feeling super great. Like I'm just not gonna come. And I hadn't really done a lot of the work that she'd asked of me the previous week. The previous week was just a tough week. But I was like, no, that's probably all the more reason to go. So like trying to stay at it and understand that it's not like it's not something you fix necessarily, right? Like it is a evolution. And I've been talking to myself like this for probably like 38 years, right? Give or take a few in the beginning. It's gonna take a while, and being giving myself grace. I think that's another thing is like, hey, like as again as moms, like we expect so, we want to be good at everything. We see everybody's highlight reel, which I despise, and I hate that I still like I, but I still look right, and I still like have those thoughts about, oh, they're going to the Bora Bora, the Bahamas, and like, how do you do that? Like, when do you have time to do that? And so the comparison game starts to creep in. And so I think it's just being aware, giving yourself time and space to reflect. The therapy is one of the things that I did. I also did it, I made a couple of other kind of major changes. Again, not fully endorsing all of these, maybe just try one at a time. But I also switched jobs. So the company I was working for before, I was a manager, and I was remote, but I was an exception. So an exception policy because of my military spouse status. And it felt hypocritical, if I'm being really honest. Like that caused a lot of stress because I also had to lecture my team. I was like, you need to be in the office. You have to be in the office a certain amount of time, a certain amount of days. Like, and it while I'm sitting in my sunroom in North Carolina. Now, mind you, like I didn't choose North Carolina. The government told us to be here. But still, it just that caused a lot of a lot of stress too.
Yeah.
And so I switched jobs. I went from being a manager to being an individual contributor again, which is what I am right now. And it's been a lot less stressful, I'm
Oh,
being
good.
really honest.
Yeah, you know, I think the question that I asked earlier where I said, do you think that you would feel it if you were in the office versus at home? And I think that example right there, if you were in an office, you wouldn't have felt that hypocritical stress
No,
of like
yeah.
telling your employees to be in the office. And yeah, so what are some other, like, because we are at home all the time, and you had a really good idea of like working out, and that's how I get out of my house is I go to one of those boot camp style classes, and I
Nice,
try to
love
go
it.
twice a week, and the classes are 45 minutes, and so like I can go at lunch and it's 45 minutes and then I come back, and so it's a nice mental break in the day away from my computer, and I can't like check my phone while I'm, in the class to see what's
Yeah.
going on. And so that's been super helpful to kind of get out of the house. But I know that before I was able to get out of the house, I mean, I remember we were stationed in San Diego many years ago when my daughter was younger, and everybody's like, oh, San Diego is such a great place to be. It's, beaches and sunny and all of that. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. But like when you don't have a community and you work from home constantly and you're by yourself, because my husband was on a ship and he was gone all the time, we had no family nearby. And all I was doing was working from, I would wake up in the morning, walk my daughter to preschool, come home, work all day long by myself, then go pick her up from preschool and then come home. And I was home with the 2-year-old by myself for the rest of the night. And this was constant. And so, and I never gave myself the grace to, like, I didn't try to reach out to friends because I knew that we were only there temporarily. And like, by the time I found a friend, it would be time to move, So I'm like,
Yep.
stick it out, stick it out. It'll be better. It'll be better. But those were the worst couple of years of my life. And I feel like those were wasted years because I didn't even try to do anything.
Yeah,
So I,
it's
you're right about
hard.
recognizing it at first, like recognizing that you are stuck and then doing something to make that action to make the next step. And it can be a simple action. It can be going for a walk outside on your lunch break or something like that.
Exactly.
To get out of
Yes,
the house.
absolutely. Or even like if there's a way to physically separate your work environment and say, like can we put it in a closet, right?
Yeah.
Like can we close the doors? And that's so I again like I our sunroom is connected to both our living room and our dining room. We live in base housing. We didn't choose this house, right? Like we were given this house. Super thankful, don't get me wrong, but like not my dream home. My dream home would include like literally a shed that was like physically separated. So I at least had to have like a little bit of a walk to the house,
Yes,
and it
that's
had
your
to be
commute.
very, yes, like something. But like even like I've started like physically closing the doors of my office. And also recognizing that like am I living to work? Or am I working to live? Like which one is it really? And also like trying to remind myself like what is truly important. And for me it's my kids and it's my spouse and it's walking the dogs and it's trying to be physically active and connect with friends. And I think that's another thing that I found, like I wear like I am in therapy like a badge of honor, right? Just because I feel like people don't talk about it
No.
and people don't talk about burnout and people I probably everybody on my street knows about my bald spot, but I just feel like it's so important to share like that burnout is real. That moms were totally the OGs to the burnout culture. Like this was not, maybe it's been made trendy in the last like year or two, right? But like moms have lived this, breathed this, and it's regardless of whether I don't like the term stay-at-home mom,
Yeah.
honestly. I used to when I asked folks, like, does your spouse work in the home or outside of the home? And then we have the struggle of like, well, and I don't think we have to clarify actually, like, yeah, you work in the home, whether you work for a organization or you work for a small toddler, right? Like we're all still working. And I would, definitely hazard a guess that like the toddler can be a slightly more demanding
Oh,
sometimes.
sure.
Like either way, like we're all working, and I and it, recognizing like I don't think we were created to be alone,
No.
right? Like we were supposed to be in a community. And but finding community can be hard. That's something even I'm trying to help my fifth grader navigate right now, help her understand that, like, hey, your community might not be at school, or it might not be who you think it might be. Like trying to look for the person who also looks like they might be alone or standing at the back or like maybe is uncomfortable. Like trying to, reach out to somebody that maybe doesn't fit your mold or your idea of who you think your person should or shouldn't be, because you might
Yeah.
be surprised. So I think like sharing this information, and even that's why I was like, oh, when I saw your post on LinkedIn, and I was like, I do want to share this information, and I have been sharing it, in my neighborhood and my friend group. And it's been slightly uncomfortable, right? Just share it with you and potentially know that it's going to be shared with people that I don't know, but
Yeah.
hopefully I'm hoping that it helps, right? And I think the more we can get out that message that like, hey, life is hard and we're meant to do it together, and finding that community in some way, even if it's uncomfortable at first. And hey, like you don't need this whole posse of friends. Movies and books have ruined friendship circles and trips and things, I feel like, for all of us.
Yeah.
But it's just like living life, doing life together, right? And letting those folks in the home when that kitchen is dirty, like, hey, we're having burgers, like you want to come, like bring something because all I've got is burgers, and like
Yeah.
kind of lowering those expectations for ourselves and for others, and just like, letting people in, I think is really important.
Yes, I think that is very important. And you're right, it is uncomfortable, but there's growth in that discomfort for sure. And what that's one of the things my daughter just, because school just let out for the summer. I'm in Atlanta and school just let out for the summer 2 weeks ago. My daughter will be in
Okay.
fourth grade next year. But one of the things that I always tell her is to be the first. So if you see somebody that looks sad, or if you see somebody that might need to be a friend, be the first person to say hello or smile or be kind, because a lot of people won't because they're too afraid, and you never know what's going to happen if you do it first. And if they don't reciprocate, then that's okay. But at least you know that you tried your best to reach out to them to help build that community. And I like also what you said about it doesn't have to be a big posse of people. I actually just recorded an episode yesterday with Laura Early from Wise Advise, and we were talking about the importance of community. And it doesn't have to be a full group of people. It can be one person that you just check in with, or that just knows who you are and can understand you and help keep you in check. That's really, you just need one person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's a lot easier to find one person than it is like a whole group of people.
Totally is. It totally is. Yeah. So, just, again, like acknowledging for me was like the first step.
Yeah.
And then doing something, again, it could be going to a coffee shop, like right? Changing your environment, even for a
Yes.
short amount of time. It doesn't have to be like an all day affair, right? Like, I will sometimes after I drop the kids off, there's a coffee shop with like the best breakfast burrito. Not, for clarity though, still not as good as like San Diego Breeze, because we were also there in San Diego and there's
Yeah.
just nothing like a San Diego burrito. Ooh, but the best that I can find where we are currently. And so I'll just bring my computer or my laptop with me, and I'll do a little bit of work, eat my breakfast burrito, maybe drink a coffee, and I don't necessarily interact with anyone, but it's just a change of environment
Yes.
for a short amount of time until I can not stand my second and third monitor that I have for my seven that I have to go back, of course, right? But
It's a game
for
changer
school
to have those
problems.
extra monitors.
It
Like,
really
I
is.
know it's hard to travel with those. You can't really go to a coffee shop with
Oh.
your two monitors set
They
up.
might look at you a little strange.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point too, is to change your environment for sure. Now, as we come up on time, this conversation's been awesome, by the way. I'm getting such great information from you, and I've loved learning about your story. But is there anything else that you think would be beneficial for the listeners to hear from you, to hear about your story, just to wrap up everything, or maybe something that we didn't t touch on?
I just think I know a lot of us moms, right, will tell people like sharing is caring,
Yeah.
right? So going back to like being willing to share your story, whether it's, on a podcast or it's on LinkedIn or it's just in your friend group. But your point, like stepping out and sharing that you're struggling and asking for help, is very powerful. Like, because again, we are, we were created to be in a community. We're created to be together. And so just don't be afraid to ask for help. And you don't have to shoulder the load and be everything to everyone. Like it's okay to have a bad day. And we tell our kids all the time, right? Like it's you had a bad day, like it's okay. And we can have bad days. Like that is okay.
Oh, I love it. So good. Such good nuggets of information, Brittany. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your
Of
story.
course.
If people want to connect with you, what are some great ways that they can? Is it email? Are you on social? What's the best?
Oh gosh. Sure, email is totally fine. Happy to talk to anyone. I am on LinkedIn. I guess I'm not super active on social media, partially because that's a protection for myself,
Right.
in some ways.
Same.
But probably LinkedIn is the best way.
Okay.
Love to connect. And I do love to, help people, particularly moms that are, transitioning back to the workforce. I had a big gap employment. I hate that term though, because I elected to be at home with kids for like 4 years, and navigating back into the corporate workforce was so tough.
You know what?
I
Let's bring you back
yes.
on to talk about that specifically,
Okay.
because that is
Yes,
actually a
absolutely.
topic that comes up all the time. So
I love
we'll
that.
schedule another time for you to come back,
Okay.
because I think that could be something that the audience really definitely wants to hear. So
Absolutely.
love it. All right. Well, thanks so much, listeners. Thank you for listening today. And as we say here on the Remote Mom Collective podcast, being different makes a difference. So let's support and inspire each other. Thanks, everybody.